From KCRW, I'm Bob Carlson, and this is Unfictional. Mauricio lived in Los Angeles undocumented for 20 years, and it wasn't always easy.
At that time, I didn't know any English. So when I heard these officers like really mad and screaming like really loud, of course, put your hands up, you learn that right away.
But somehow, he was able to combine his love of cars and his dream of being on television.
Today's your lucky day. About to pimp your ride.
It's a brand new season of Unfictional. True stories, personal documentaries, and radio movies. And this season, stories of fantasy. Impossible goals, underground worlds, and memories of old friends that are more real than the truth. But here's the story of Mauricio Hernandez. He was living his dream in L.A. of the 1990s, a world of custom cars and TV fame. But then betrayal and heartbreak, and he nearly died in the desert. It's a story from reporter Levi Bridges in two parts, this week and next. And there are a handful of F-words in this episode, so consider that your fair warning. From KCRW, it's Unfictional and Mauricio Across the Border. Part 1.
You do not forget a guy like Mauricio Hernandez. He's got a long, pointy beard, always wearing these dark sunglasses, and long dreadlocks that hang practically down to his waist. The first time I met Mauricio, he was standing in a parking lot just outside Mexico City, speaking at some kind of promotional event. I thought I'd seen him somewhere before. Maybe on TV, back in the U.S. Later that afternoon, Mauricio and I ate some street tacos.
Uno, dos de papa nada más con pura papa.
Dos campechanos.
And no joke, multiple kids stopped to ask Mauricio for his autograph. As we ate, Mauricio told me about a dream he had growing up. Mauricio's had lots of dreams over the years. Somehow, many of them have actually come true.
Yeah, my first dream was to be on television. That was my first dream. Be famous some way, somehow.
Mauricio says that when he watched TV as a kid, he'd imagine himself being one of the actors, like on this one show that used to be on Mexican TV.
Yeah, that was called Chiquilladas. It was this TV show in Mexico that was all about kids.
Bienvenidos, chiquillitos y chiquillitas, al programa de Chiquilladas.
When Mauricio was 8 years old, he learned that the crew who made Chiquilladas was offering acting lessons for children. Mauricio was psyched. He told his mom all about it.
But I remember she told me, like, to pay for your school to be an actor. We don't have no money to do that.
When Mauricio got a little older, his childhood dream of being on television went on the back burner. He worked at a mechanic shop in high school to make extra money. Mauricio really liked working on cars, almost as much as he liked the idea of being on TV. He wanted to buy his own car, but he never had enough money. And then eventually, Mauricio started noticing that lots of his friends were going to the U.S. to work. They were coming back with cool stuff.
Cars, motorcycles, clothes, tennis shoes, you know? I was like, wow. That was shit, man. I want to be there.
When Mauricio was 16, his brother came to Mexico to take him to California. Mauricio's home life was not great. His mom would yell at him a lot. Mauricio says she sometimes got physical with him.
But, you know, as a kid, you never forget. You never forget the things, the words, the objects where she used to hit you, you know?
Was that part of the reason why you guys left home so young?
Yeah, I seen a lot of problems in my family, especially when my dad is an alcoholic.
It was that year, 1991, that Mauricio and his brother first tried to cross the border into California. They wanted to go to Los Angeles.
Back then, the border didn't have a wall. You could have just crossed so easy.
The guys got caught by Border Patrol twice. The second time, they spent a couple hours in jail and were deported back to Tijuana. Mauricio hated that feeling of being locked up, like a prisoner.
I remember I told my brother, If we this time we don't pass, I'm going back. If we caught again, I'm going back.
Mauricio did cross again, and this time he made it on a Greyhound. The bus eventually got stopped at an immigration checkpoint, and an officer came on board.
So I see him start, that he's kind of like walking towards me, and then I close my eyes and I start snoring, you know?
The agent bought it. Mauricio looked too at ease to be undocumented. He made it all the way to LA.
But it wasn't nice because the Greyhound, the station in downtown LA is right about Skid Row. And you get out of the bus and you start seeing all these homeless people, drug addict people, and you're like, what the fuck? You know, this is LA. Dude, I wanna come back. I don't wanna live here.
Is that not at all what you were expecting?
Yeah, I was thinking about seeing Disneyland right across the street. I don't know.
And that wasn't the only thing that surprised him.
When I arrived to LA, the cars was like really catching my eyes.
In California, Mauricio saw a Pontiac Fiero. It's this little sports car with a spoiler on the back that he was totally into. There was kind of a car renaissance going on in LA at the time. This was the early 90s, back when rappers like Dr. Dre started putting lowriders in their music videos. And the California street culture of tricking out cars went mainstream.
First time I seen a lowrider, I really went crazy. I was like, wow. And I remember at that time it was very popular, the pickup trucks, when they used to put hydraulics on the bed and they used to make them dance and get up and spin around. And I was like, how do they do that? You know, how do they do that? My cousins were kind of like in the gangster culture.
Mauricio, by contrast, was pretty straight-laced.
You know, tight pants, sandy shoes. My cousin took me to a first lowrider show, and it was funny because they dressed me up as a cholo because they were like, you're not gonna go to a lowrider show dressing like you dress. They gave me some overalls, like huge overalls. Nike Cortez, they put me this Raiders flannel, and I had long hair. So they told me, well, get your hair in a ponytail. I didn't feel good because that wasn't the way that I dressed up. But it was fun because I get the chance to see all these cars. As the first time I heard Keith Frost. And all these popular artists from the Chicano culture. And it was fun. Because this is for the
past. When Mauricio got to know his cousins in LA, he got to meet this whole new part of his family. But he didn't really always feel welcome in California.
We're getting word this evening of some rock throwing by youths in South Central.
It's reported structure fire.
The violence erupted after the acquittal of four white policemen in the beating trial of black motorist Rodney King.
Mauricio was still settling into LA when the city revolted in the LA riots of 1992.
As the National Guard finally sweeps in.
One night during the riots, Mauricio and his cousins were walking past the convenience store.
It was kind of like a 7-Eleven. The lights were out, the windows were all broken. I'm like, hey, well, let's go get some more beers. You know, they're free.
The guys went into the store and picked up a couple 12-packs. But before they had time to walk out, the cops showed up.
You know, you could hear the tires, and you see the lights that were already pointing inside the store, and you could hear the officers. At that time, I didn't know any English. So when I heard these officers, like, really mad and screaming, like, really loud, of course, put your hands up, and you learn that right away. And I just remember the officer, he pulled me out of the store and threw me on the ground. And then I remember maybe four or five officers started kicking me. They started kicking me like a fucking soccer ball.
The cops let the guys go that night. Mauricio thought he'd get summoned to court for loitering or trespassing, but he says he changed addresses soon after, never got a notice in the mail. The guys thought about pressing charges themselves against the cops who beat them up, but they were too afraid to take legal action. Partly, of course, because Mauricio was undocumented. Mauricio says the longer he stayed in the U.S., the more his immigration status started to bother him. the fact that he couldn't get a driver's license, the possibility that he might get arrested and deported someday, treated like a criminal, were always in the back of his mind.
It was always something that kind of like put you down.
Mauricio's girlfriend, a young Mexican immigrant named Claudia, was also undocumented.
I started a family at a young age. You know, I had a kid when I was 18. And, well, you know how it is. Having a kid is not easy.
Mauricio and Claudia ended up having three sons. Mauricio was the breadwinner, and he found a job doing something he loved.
I wanted to work on cars professionally.
He had to start at the bottom, as a janitor at this body shop in Westchester, near LAX.
I was cleaning the bathrooms, cleaning up the shop, sweeping the shop. I was working with a lot of Central American people. And Central American people and the Mexicans, we don't get along that well. And they used to see me coming, they used to throw me the trash in my fit. You know, like, here, pick that up.
But Mauricio stuck around, learning more and more skills.
Shampoo the car, you know, wax the car, clean the interiors. And then I learned how to color sand and buff the cars, body work. And then I end up doing paint.
Mauricio started picking up side gigs. Another one of his cousins was working for a body shop called West Coast Customs. One day he asked Mauricio to help him do the body work on a vehicle that looked like a small delivery van.
It used to call the Daihatsu. It was a Filipino car.
The Daihatsu was a complete wreck. West Coast Customs needed all the bodywork on the van completely redone and repainted quick.
We do it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And as they worked, Mauricio noticed something.
We started seeing cameras.
People were coming out and filming them work in the shop. Mauricio had no idea what was going on.
They didn't tell me anything. At first it was like maybe a documentary, I don't know. But it was a very professional camera.
And even though he still dreamed of being on TV, he didn't ask what was up.
I was like, well, we're here to do the job, you know? Our thing was the money, never mind the cameras, you know?
But then one morning, they were pulling the masking tape off the Daihatsu to finish the paint job.
And I remember that day we went early and I see Exhibit walking to the shop.
Exhibit, the rapper.
Sometimes I wonder if it's all worth my while. Exhibit stay versatile with $1 million.
Exhibit just showing up really took Mauricio off guard.
I kind of like, whoa, you know, damn. So, of course, I told him, hey, can you sign me an autograph? And he was a really cool guy.
I've always had a love affair with cars. Big ones, fast ones, especially expensive ones. Because I'm your boy X to the Z.
Mauricio got a picture with Exhibit. And then he and his cousin put the last coat of paint on the Daihatsu.
They paid us and they told us that they wanted us to be there on a Wednesday, 5 p.m. And my cousin and me were like, for what? We're recording the show and we want you guys to be there because all the people that work on the car, they gotta be on this TV show.
They didn't tell Mauricio anything else. Just come back on Wednesday to film something for a TV show. But Mauricio was pumped.
I was like, dude, I'm gonna be in a TV show which I wanted it from since I was young, you know?
Next week, Mauricio comes back to West Coast Customs, and there are cameras everywhere.
All right, guys, you guys right here, you guys right here. And then they say action, and you see Exhibit coming in with the guy, the owner of the truck.
Yeah, check out the inside, homie. Oh,
I can tell you what, I'm impressed already.
It was a pilot. They haven't even thought about the next one. It was just a pilot.
The pilot of Pimp My Ride.
I'm about to pimp his ride.
So you want to be a player, but your wheels ain't fly. You got to hit us up to get a pimped out ride.
Pimp My Ride aired on MTV in the early 2000s. It was kind of one of the first reality TV shows. The basic premise was every week the host, Exhibit, finds some poor girl or guy driving a real clunker. And then they pimp that car out.
Hi, I'm Wyatt, I'm 18 years old, and this baby is my ride. There are no shortage of things wrong with the car. Two words for you here, duct tape. Top speed, 60 miles an hour.
Today's your lucky day, Wyatt. I'm about to pimp your ride.
Exhibit would bring the cars over to Ryan Freelinghouse, the owner of West Coast Customs.
Hi, welcome to West Coast Customs. I'm Ryan, and this is my shop. All right, check this out, Ryan, man.
I've never seen one of these before in my life.
Yo, man, neither have I. I think there's like two in the U.S.
I think it more looks like a golf cart.
They never thought it was going to hit. So it hit big. It hit really big. I remember they call us, like, after the TV show aired, they call us, like, right away.
West Coast Customs eventually hired Mauricio full-time. He did the bodywork on a lot of the cars that appeared on Pimp My Ride.
I feel so proud of myself to being on the first TV show of cars in MTV. We end up doing Pimp My Ride for 6 years. Those 6 years were, I don't know, the happiest years of my life, I can say.
From KCRW, it's Unfictional. I'm Bob Carlson, and this is a story called Mauricio Across the Border. And coming up, Mauricio gives a ride to the Governator. That's in just a moment. From KCRW, I'm Bob Carlson, and you're listening to Unfictional and a story called Mauricio Across the Border. The reporter is Levi Bridges.
It was a dream come true. But after the pilot episode of Pimp My Ride, Mauricio never appeared on the show again. He was always behind the scenes, working on the cars, not in front of the cameras.
Probably I wasn't in Pimp My Ride because most of the show was acting.
When Mauricio says acting, he means that many of the people who you saw working on the cars weren't necessarily the ones who actually pimped them out. Mauricio and some other guys from Mexico were the ones doing a lot of the grunt work.
Let's say I was sending the car and then the camera crew used to come to me and say, hey, stop. Can you give this to them and so they can speak on the camera?
One of these stand-in workers was named Alex.
Now me and Alex are going out and test drive this thing.
Alex would take Mauricio's place working on the car. And then the producers would ask him questions.
What are you doing, Alex? Well, I'm sending this car so we can get it ready for paint. Okay, cut. So they used to give me back the black and the sandpaper and I used to finish the car. I didn't feel it, like, offended. Because, first of all, I wasn't getting paid to be on television. I was getting paid to work. And to me, being in television or being around the television show, it was a plus.
People they would bring in to say, hey, this is the guy who's sanding the car, were they normally white?
I can tell you this, they were not Mexican.
And so who was really doing the work?
Well, most of the guys were Mexicans. At one point, I remember the shop, it was probably like about 80% Mexicans.
This was the early 2000s. It was a different time. Enforcement of the U.S.-Mexico border was just ramping up after 9/11. There was a lot less immigration enforcement than there is today.
At that moment, I remember you could still go to Alvarado Street in Los Angeles and get a social security number and a fake alien card. You can tell right away it was fake. And people in body shop, they knew. Of course, they knew.
People who worked on MTV, did they know you guys were undocumented?
They knew because there was people that didn't really like speak English. It came to a point when nobody cares, you know? Nobody care about you being illegal if you would just show me a fake social security number and a fake alien card. So as long as you have those papers, you will feel so confident about looking for a job anywhere.
Mauricio says it was kind of an open secret that some of the guys who helped pimp out the cars were undocumented. He remembers that the people who worked on the show would even joke around with the Mexican mechanics about their immigration status.
They used to just scream, just laughing. Hey, la migra. We used to turn around and say, who cares?
One day, someone way more important than La Migra came to West Coast Customs.
Hi, this is Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger of the great state of California. Now, as part of MTV's...
At one point, Mauricio says that Schwarzenegger also brought his car to West Coast. It was right after he had just vetoed a bill that would have given undocumented immigrants the right to get a driver's license in California. When Schwarzenegger came to get his car, Mauricio looked over at his boss, Ryan.
I remember Ryan tell me, well, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to come and pick up his truck. Ryan was a sarcastic man. You drive the truck and bring it and just get out and just give him the keys. And that was funny because, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't want to give us a driver's license and I'm driving his car and I'm giving his car. So it was funny.
The media and popular culture often portray undocumented immigrants as living in the shadows, But Mauricio says he was right out in the open, driving the car of a Republican governor, who's also an immigrant. Over the years, lots of other celebrities also brought their cars to West Coast.
We had cars for Paris Hilton, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, Sylvester Stallone, Snoop Dogg.
By day, Mauricio was leading a glamorous life, meeting the rich and famous. At work, being undocumented didn't really matter. It's like West Coast Customs was a miniature sort of sanctuary city. But even though Mauricio worked on cars for a living, he never drove a nice one himself. Mauricio worried his car might get impounded if he ever got caught driving without a license. And it wasn't like Mauricio was just rolling around with Snoop Dogg all day. The job was tough, long hours and really hard work for not a lot of money.
Most of these cars, of course, were like trash. So a body shop had 3 days to finish the car and give it back to them. Finish. I remember there were days where we were probably leaving about 2 o'clock a.m., 3 o'clock in the morning, and wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning to go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning.
And all those long nights in the shop had a serious effect on Mauricio's family.
I sacrificed my family. I did sacrifice my kids, but I don't have no regrets because the money that I was making, of course, it was for my kids, for my family, for my house.
But his partner did not see things the same way.
She told me at one point to leave West Coast. Leave it because you don't have a life. You work so many hours. We need you at the house. We need you to be the dad, me the mom, a family. And I didn't listen.
Mauricio says he figured he'd get a better job in the future so he could give his kids the kind of opportunities he never had, like a college education. But in the short term, fixing the cars that Exhibit presented on MTV wasn't always the most glamorous gig in the world.
Fuck, it was a hard job.
How much money were you making?
It was $300 a week, I believe so. It was more the experience to be there. It was fun to be at the show.
It was fun. But there are signs that West Coast Customs has taken advantage of their workers in the past. In 2014, West Coast paid a settlement to workers after investigation by the Department of Labor found that the company paid employees less than minimum wage, in addition to other abuses. According to the settlement, West Coast owed the workers thousands of dollars in back pay. By that point, Mauricio had left West Coast. I'll explain why later. But Mauricio didn't see his boss, Ryan Friedlinghouse, as some cruel tyrant exploiting undocumented immigrants.
He was not the romantic, sentimental guy. He always was the mean face, the strong guy. He would always call the shop the war field.
The war field?
Yeah, the war field. And he used to call us soldiers. And he used to say, well, you're one of the best of my soldiers. My best soldiers, they always go out on the front.
Mauricio says that he and Ryan developed a close relationship. Mauricio was always working late, polishing the cars, making everything look good. And he says Ryan noticed.
Ryan used to invite him in his office to eat with him, with his family, with his kids, with his dad, with his mom. You know, we have the same age and we were buddies.
Around that time, Mauricio says that Ryan was going through a divorce. He kept a lot of it private. But he came to rely on Mauricio. One night, Mauricio says, Ryan broke down.
I remember his face. His face couldn't take it anymore. And he started crying. And he told me, I'm sorry. I got a lot of problems. And this car has to leave tomorrow to Dubai. And nobody's here. I give him a hug. He hugged me. He's like, can you help me and finish the car? And I said, yes, for sure. I looked at him and I told him, you know, I got you. I told him, I got you.
You were kind of Ryan's right-hand man.
Yeah. Even though he always called me his soldier, I know it was more than that.
The work that Ryan and Mauricio did on Pimp My Ride had given West Coast Customs national exposure. But a body shop that refurbishes old clunkers? Mauricio says that wasn't what Ryan wanted West Coast to be known for. He wanted to get back to high-end work for LA movie stars.
West Coast was built up about celebrities. And once we did Pimp My Ride, we were the joke of the celebrities.
Ryan decided to leave Pimp My Ride altogether and move to a new state-of-the-art shop in Corona, California, outside LA. Mauricio was one of the first people Ryan approached about the plan.
And he told me right away that you don't have no option. You're coming with me.
The idea wasn't just to launch a new shop. Mauricio says Ryan wanted to start his own TV show about what really went on inside West Coast Customs. That idea actually turned into a real show called Street Customs that aired on TLC and the Discovery Channel.
On this episode of Street Customs.
My name is Ryan. This is my company. This is my life. And this is Street Customs.
Street Customs, it was a really reality show, more than Pimp My Ride. It wasn't no actors.
In other words, no stand-in replacements for the guys working on the cars. Ryan offered Mauricio a spot as one of the main workers who appeared on Street Customs.
Ryan saw me like a character, and he did give me a lot of exposure on the show, on TLC.
I've always had this thing with Mauricio. He's worked for me almost 7 years now. I've always told him, dude, we gotta cut your hair, we gotta cut your hair.
With his signature long dreads and pointy beard, Mauricio became one of the show's most recognizable personalities.
Ryan, he keeps telling me, like, oh, you should cut your hair. He told everybody to put a price on my dreads, saying that he will give $100 for each dread that anybody cut.
$100, dog.
And this is where Mauricio's childhood dream became a reality. After they started producing Street Customs, Ryan asked Mauricio to represent West Coast at this really important car show, the SEMA show in Las Vegas.
You see these people, and you see everybody start clapping, and they clapping to you, and you're walking through this red carpet, through the stage. I don't know, I felt like I made it. I remember they never stopped clapping. We were recognized on the people there. Put the automobile industry and television. We were huge. We were artists. We were the best.
Mauricio was a main character on the show. He was relatable, cool, the kind of guy you'd want to have show up at your party. Mauricio personified a character on television that served as a bridge that could connect people to the Latino community. And he did this all while he was undocumented.
I did live two lives. You know, stuff like, I'm gonna get caught. I don't have a license. I'm not going to do my taxes.
And there were always reminders everywhere of what could happen.
Sometimes when you hear the news, when I used to hear that this happened over here.
Across Northern California, over a dozen undocumented immigrants are behind bars right now after a new crackdown by the
battle between California and the feds over illegal immigration.
That's going on over here.
Homeland Security began flying plane loads of illegal immigrants into Southern California for processing and release.
Immigrant communities across the country bracing for an ICE crackdown to kick into high gear.
It was not something that will not let me sleep. But that it was something that you had to live with every day.
Mauricio really wanted to find a way to get legal status in the U.S. And eventually, he found one. A wealthy Mexican who had some work done at the shop approached Ryan about buying the rights to open a West Coast Customs franchise in Mexico. Mauricio helped with the negotiations. And the Mexicans had one key condition.
We're going to buy the franchise, but Mauricio's coming with us. Because we want him to build the shop. And once it's done, then he comes back.
Mauricio was excited about the possibility of going back to Mexico. He was opening a franchise for a company with international recognition. Mauricio felt proud about that. After the two guys from Mexico left, Mauricio sat down with Ryan to hash out the details.
I told him after they left, I said, hey, dude, but I don't got no papers. How am I going to come back? He's like, I'll bring you back. Don't worry, I'll bring you back. I'll pay the coyote, he told me, to bring you back.
A visa would mean legal status in the U.S. No more sneaking around, always worried about getting deported. So in the winter of 2009, Mauricio said goodbye to his partner and three kids. And he crossed the border from San Diego to Tijuana, the same place where he'd first entered California as a teenager. And then he got on a plane to Mexico City. Mauricio was worried that this whole business venture in Mexico might fail. But he reminded himself that he wouldn't be gone long. Mauricio promised his kids that he'd be back by next Christmas. But Mauricio never returned to the U.S. again.
Hey,
It's Unfictional, and part one of Mauricio Across the Border. And on the next episode of this program, Mauricio tries to cross back to the U.S., but he's abandoned in the desert.
I got panic. I panic a lot, thinking I'm gonna die here. So I remember I started saying, Mauricio, start thinking, what you gonna do?
That's on the next episode of Unfictional. So please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Mauricio Across the Border was produced by Levi Bridges and edited by Carla Green. I'm Bob Carlson, the producer of Unfictional. Chrissy Barker provided vital production help, sings and plays the saw. Theme music by Alex Weston, with music help from Joe Augustine and Narrative Music. The managing producer of the program was Carla Green. Please subscribe to this program wherever you listen to your podcasts, and join me next time for Unfictional from KCRW.